Dear Diary, Denise here. So, you know how I love mascots? Well, I had this crazy idea to try and interview them for a podcast. As of this writing, it's been 3 months and I have 3 interviews. Here are a few things that I've learned. Number one, interviewing people is hard. Number two, mascots don't want to talk. Number three, the people I have interviewed are awesome. So here's my first interview with Jason. He was a professional mascot for the NWHL for all of, well, you'll hear. And NWHL stands for National Women's Hockey League, so there's a lot of hockey talk. Jason was a super cool guy, loves Pearl Jam, and I was glad I got to talk with him. Here we go.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
How's it going?
Good, how are you?
Doing good, thanks. Is everything coming through okay on your end?
Yeah, it's recording and everything. Yeah, I wanted to press record before I forgot. So you're my first interview. So.
Oh, good. I'm proud.
So this is a
this
test
is my
pilot.
First mascot job. So I'm looking for as much as I can.
Alrighty. Okay, I guess we'll start. And so I'm here with Jason. And Jason, you were a mascot for how long?
Just a few hours, actually. One lucky day earlier this year.
Awesome. Awesome. So you had no prior experience to this, like no prior mascotting experience.
Correct. I was actually going in to volunteer job that I've been working with. Mm-hmm. And they came in and said, hey, any chance you can do something a little bit different today? We were wondering if you wouldn't mind putting on the costume and being our mascot for the day.
That's awesome. And what was your reaction? I mean,
It was actually something that was kind of on my bucket list, and I was never really sure why, but it just always seemed like a cool thing to do. Like, you could get in a costume and you can dance without feeling self-conscious, and you get really exaggerated movements to make it all look kind of goofy and silly, and you get to make people smile. So it was something that I'd always thought, you know, man, I wish I could figure out how to try that, but, you know, never really saw where the opportunities were or was in a situation where it made a lot of sense.
Yeah, like same here. I mean, it's tough, like unless you're working, you know, maybe with a school or something or a city that has a mascot. Like, yeah, it's or, you know, you just apply for those summer jobs as characters in the summer. But yeah, no, I totally feel you. That's like on my bucket list as well, like to do more than just like be a elementary school mascot for like an assembly. But
yeah, even that, I always thought, you know, someone was doing that and I wasn't sure how I could get it to be me, but it seemed like it would have been fun to try.
You just got to ask like questions, but I mean, they approached you. So that was really cool.
Yeah. In this case, it was something where I'd been doing a lot of odd jobs for them. You know, whatever it kind of took to help get things going. And so in this case, that was hopping in the mascot costume. It was actually a relatively new mascot. So they didn't have someone who did it regularly yet. And I don't know if they will moving forward, but I guess that remains to be seen. Be more than happy to try it again if not. But yeah, they just came up to me and said, hey, you know, we know you're willing to do the odd jobs, and this is about as odd as this request is going to get.
That's awesome. So do you mind sharing which mascot you were? Because I'm not going to lie, when you told me, I kind of geeked out for a bit. Like, I was like, oh my God, that's so cool.
So I was Nest the Lion for the Boston Pride for exactly one game, and it happened to be the game that they won the Isabel Cup championship.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. When you told me the game too, I was like, no freaking way. I was like, I just want to just chat with you, even if you don't want to like interview. I was like, I'm just going to Skype him and get this story. But yeah, so, that is so awesome because I'm a total like hockey fan, and that's really cool.
I'm glad. The interesting thing was I'd been talking to my friend and, you know, kind of scheming. And so we've been volunteering for the NWHL for a little while. And one of the questions was, you know, in hockey, you can't touch a trophy until you win it.
Yeah.
And so we were both trying to figure out ways like, okay, if only women professionals can win this thing, how do we touch it? And how do we get involved in this? And even at that point, what does the trophy even look like? Because they hadn't announced it until the day of. And
yeah.
We were trying to figure out, you know, can we be the, you know, two people in suits who wear white gloves and carry it onto the ice, or can we do something to get involved in the presentation? And it turned out that you know, I was able to actually be a member of the team for the one night that mattered the most.
Yeah, man, that is crazy awesome. I'm seriously jealous.
Yeah, it's certainly not likely a feat that I will be able to replicate winning the Isabel Cup, but it was certainly one that I enjoyed the opportunity to do.
So what were your duties as the mascot?
I think basically their request was, you know, do mascot-y things.
Oh my goodness.
You know, the one major rule, which I think is probably relatively common, is no talking.
Yeah.
Which, you know, at times was a little bit difficult. Certainly something that, you know, as the night went on, it went a little bit easier. You know, you just kind of get used to not saying things. You start figuring out what gestures work for you. You figure out like what you can and can't do in the costume. And, you know, I got to learn, okay, well, if I wanted to shake my head, it wasn't, you know, just a regular head shake. It was everything from the shoulders up. And you start to figure out how you can communicate with people non-verbally when possible.
Yeah. Did you have any sound effects? Like, there's a few mascots that have the kissing sound effect where you like blowing kisses or anything. Like,
I did not. And I don't know if that's something that, you know, will come a little bit later on. But it's certainly something that, you know, in the second night of her existence, Ness didn't have just yet. In fact, it's the first game that she even had a jersey. The first night she was just wearing one of the t-shirts. And to be honest, it was just they picked the jersey that, you know, was able to fit me because I'm a big guy.
So did anyone like help you out, give you tips? Because there was another mascot there at the game.
There was. And Crusher was very helpful, actually. So I was in the back room, actually starting to get dressed, kind of behind the merch table. We were using the Barnabas Health Hockey House, which back then was the, I believe, Atlantic Health Hockey House. And, it wasn't a building that we were particularly used to. So we had our little areas. In this case, it was a merch table that I was hiding behind getting changed. And eventually found out that I was able to use one of the locker rooms. And so then Crusher was in there and she was incredibly helpful. She gave me tips, pointers, you know, here's what you do. Here's where I'll be at this time. Here's how we'd interact. You know, really, really just, you know, got me through that first time and helped me do what I needed to do.
That's awesome. Yeah, I met her when she was down for, she was over here for Bailey's birthday party because I'm in Los Angeles and I'm a huge Kings fan.
Yeah, I saw that she had traveled out there.
Yeah, so
it seemed like a fun birthday party to go to.
Yeah, she was cool. I took a picture with her. Like, I didn't even watch half the game because I was set on like taking a picture with her specifically. I was like, I really doubt I'm ever gonna travel over there to catch a game, even though I would like to. But it's like, I don't know if it'll happen. So at least I could have my picture like with her here. So yeah.
Yeah, true. Well, hopefully there will be a team out west sometime soon. You know, I'm not affiliated with the league in any official capacity. I am not able to predict anything beyond, you know, hoping that everything works out well, but hopefully we'll see a team at some point, you know, out that way.
I'm hoping, like, that would be really cool to see over here. So I would definitely go to games if they were closer. So you had mentioned the suit was fairly new. So, because I've heard stories about suits being smelly and stuff. So it was a fairly new suit. Like,
yeah, cool. I mean, it still, you know, smelled like the materials that it was made out of, which is its own kind of odd thing to breathe in for a couple hours. But it didn't have the, you know, previously used funk, which was nice.
And then so, I mean, you not having any experience, like, did you have to take a lot of breaks or how did the breaks work?
So it was a lot more work than I was expecting, even just kind of being in the suit and moving around. I had to take a lot of breaks to hydrate. I think I went through 4 or 5, maybe 6 water bottles throughout the night. You know, I would try to stay out as long as I could. I'd come back in, you know, chug a water bottle, hope I didn't miss a goal, and then get back out onto the rink. But it was definitely something that was one of the specific things that Crusher helped warn me about, was making sure that I was staying hydrated and getting fluids and that sort of thing. So I took her seriously, and I'm very glad that I did that as well.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be careful with that. I mean, it's like off topic, but I do like bunny patrol sometimes for one of my other jobs, like my part-time job for the city. So that's basically mm-hmm. when we have the Easter extravaganza and we have the two Easter bunnies, and I, you know, you guide them out because they're just city employees in a suit. And yeah, like right. we have to break them every 20 minutes and make sure they just like take in as much as water as they can before we take them out. Cause it's usually hot around that time. And like we're in the park.
The last thing that you want is for your mascot to pass out and scare all the kids. And
yeah.
You know, heaven forbid a head rolls off or something even crazier than that.
Oh yeah. So nothing like that happened to you? I mean, the head stood on, no. You didn't fall down any stairs.
Nothing like that. I did have to deal with one group of children who were just really intent on pulling off Ness's tail.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't figure out why, and I couldn't tell them to stop, and I kept pleading, like, non-verbally with the mother to try to get her to control the kids. She's like, oh, it's cute, they're playing with Ness, and I'm like, no, they're trying to rip my costume in half. I ended up at some point almost backed into a corner, kind of holding the tail, hoping that they didn't destroy the costume that I obviously didn't own, just doing my best to kind of survive that. And then if I later in the evening would walk by and not notice to protect myself, I'd get a nice tug. But fortunately, they didn't get to rip anything off.
Yeah, that's one thing I really want to ask, like if I do get any more interviews, is how do you deal with those crazy kids?
I'd love to say I had a good excuse, but most of what I did was just trying to run away from them and not be involved with them. I found that the kind of I'm watching you gesture,
two fingers on the eyes.
Exactly. Very exaggerated gesture. I felt like that kind of, got one or two of them to be like, what's going on here? And then, if they get too close, you just give a hug and tussle the hair in an annoyingly cute fashion and hope that they end up getting annoyed with that enough that that it looks cute, but then they don't keep bothering you.
So
I don't know if that's an official technique, but it worked a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems tough because you're there for kids. Like, the kids, and parents want their kids to take a picture with you and stuff. So
exactly.
It's a tough subject. It's a tough one.
It's great to get the pictures, and you kind of just got to do what you got to do to stay safe almost. Certainly when you're going up the stairs and you can't see your feet and someone steps on your tail. I had a few times where I almost fell, but at some point you just kind of got to watch out and make sure that you survive the night.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. So did you, obviously Jason, you're a guy and Ness is a girl. She's a lioness. Did you have a hard time or did you even act like the feminine part or were you just a lion?
So, I actually had one or two kids that kind of walked up to me and then like turned around to their parents and they're like, is Nessa a boy or a girl? And, one or two of the parents were like, well, it doesn't have a mane and, lioness and et cetera. She's a girl. Other people didn't seem to know yet. And she hadn't been introduced on social media just yet. She hadn't really been publicized that much. And it was only her second game, with the team. So people didn't necessarily have the answers to that question. And, I wasn't wearing a skirt or anything like that would make it blatantly obvious, the fact that I had no pants on at all, aside from kind of the furry leggings. So I just kind of had to, be like, come on, isn't it obvious, without being able to say anything. And I don't know that I acted particularly feminine, but I certainly tried to make sure that I wasn't being particularly mannish either.
Yeah.
If that's possible to do.
I would love to, I follow Ness on Twitter and stuff, so I would hope to, see what they come up for her later down the line. Like, I think they could develop a lot with her, so I character-wise.
I agree. It's interesting, being the one in the costume, but not the one who's tweeting at the moment, because I had no idea what I was about to say on social media or what the deal was. So I ended up going back, at the end of the night and liking a lot of the tweets and saving a lot of the pictures of myself because I hadn't seen them or heard them or, known that people were filming me at any given time, which was, a fun little surprise since it was such a cool experience to do.
Yeah. So did that take away from the experience, like being in the suit, or were you still just as excited?
Yeah, I think I was just as excited. Personally, my girlfriend's a Pride fan a little bit more than I am, I would say. So for me, if the Riveters were there and that was the team I'd worked with most, I might have been a little bit more invested in, specifically seeing each goal and, who ended up winning the game. But as it stood, I obviously was rooting for the Pride. Obviously, I wanted to see the cup handed out that night. So for me, I was able to just kind of enjoy it, getting the excitement. You know, the team obviously played well, and that made it easier. I don't know if they had been losing by six, if I would have, you know, been able to kind of do that. But the way it was, it really worked out pretty perfectly for me.
Cool. So you said people were taking pictures of you, and you were taking a lot of pictures and going back. Like, did you happen to see any famous people? Or because it was a big game, but if you're not following hockey, I'm not sure if you're aware of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely saw several beat reporters and that sort of thing. You know, a couple of people who I've, you know, say seen at Devils games and certainly didn't recognize me dressed as a Lion. And obviously I got to get pretty close and involved with the players, which was a cool experience. I wouldn't say I noticed any outside celebrities. But, you know, even just being involved with the players, and I think my favorite example of that was during the warmups when they were playing their little, you know, soccer ball kicking game.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, let's see what I can do in this costume. And so I just joined the circle, and that's not something you can just do as a regular fan. Or even as a league volunteer. So I just got in the circle and, you know, they started kicking the ball to me and I was doing the best I could to kick it back. I think there's a video of that online somewhere, and I don't think it was particularly helpful that I'd never played that game outside of a mascot costume. But, you know, I did the best I could, and it was just like cool to be involved and have the players cheering for you and rooting for you to kind of, you know, even do something as kick a ball. You know, it was cool that they didn't know I was in there. They didn't know who it was. So it was cool to just kind of have them rooting for you as Ness, as someone that, you know, 10 minutes ago outside of the costume, I was on the outside looking up to them. And now in this case, I, you know, was able to get in and be a part of the team.
That's cool. Yeah, I did see that video, and I'll post a link when I post this. So no one really knew that you were in the costume. So did that give you a chance to mess with anyone that was there? Like, I don't know, was your girlfriend there? Did you mess with her? Did she know you were in the costume?
My girlfriend was not there. My buddy and I were the ones volunteering. He obviously knew I was there. He actually was the one who got a couple of the pictures of me. You know, the only pictures I have of me sort of partially dressed, so that, you know, there's proof that I was actually in there somewhere. So he knew. And then the other kind of league employees who I was working with knew. But none of the players did, none of the fans. I had a member of my adult league hockey team who was at the game. So I stole his hat at some point. He had no idea it was me until I told him later. as I said, a couple people I'd seen from, you know, working other games and Devils games and all of that. And then, you know, to be able to go into the locker room during the celebration and, you know, the warm-up circle and eventually on the ice when we won the championship, you know, that was kind of the benefit of having nobody know who was in there.
Yeah, you just like, oh, there's the mascot, get him in, like.
yeah, and you know, obviously they wouldn't have put someone that they didn't trust in there. I hope so. you know, they just kind of trusted that whoever got put in the costume was going to be good and helpful, and I tried to do my best to uphold that.
That's awesome. So I have to ask, because I've been wondering, and I looked for videos as much as I could of you, and like I said, I found two, but I couldn't really tell, like, did you get to hold the cup at the end? And like, I don't, and you said you were kind of, I was like, superstitious about holding it, so tell me more about that.
So I did get to touch the cup on the ice at some point. What happened, I was trying to find someone actually to, you know, once everyone had gone through, to give the cup to the mascot so she could hold it up, because I figured that would be an awesome picture, right? For social media, for the league, for Ness's account particularly.
Yeah.
And I figured, okay, like, someone's got to hand me the trophy at some point, right? So basically I'm sitting on the outside of the circle and making sure that, you know, everyone gets a chance to touch it. And then I'm in the background of the video for Denna and trying to get involved as much as possible. And eventually when it came down to just a couple of people, I ended up getting one paw on one side of the trophy and kind of walking it with one of the players over to where her parents were taking pictures before someone was kind of like, hey, can I bring it over here? So at no point did I get to two-hand lift it over my head.
Yeah.
But I did get to carry it around on the ice and touch the trophy. So, you know, that's as much as I could have possibly asked for at the beginning of the night. And at some point, I also got a championship hat put on top of my mascot head but I couldn't feel it. At some point before I got off the ice, it had fallen off and it was never seen again.
Oh, boo.
So unfortunately, I don't have that little memento to keep. But hopefully someone who would have gotten one anyway ended up with it, and not just someone who found it or ripped it off my head when I wasn't, you know, able to see.
Free hat. He doesn't need it. Or she doesn't need it. Mascot doesn't need it.
You never complain about a free hat.
Yeah. So what was the hardest thing about mascotting? Like, in your few hours, like, what was the hardest thing?
Going upstairs. In that particular costume, I couldn't see my feet at all. So at some point, it got to a point of, okay, there's 7 stairs left. I'm just going to keep moving my feet in the same position until I get up to count to 7.
That's a good strategy.
Yeah, I just, like, the one thing I didn't want to do was, like, fall and, like, get hurt. And what if something like that happens to a mascot? So I just wanted to make sure that I kind of did everything, kept safe, you know, got up and down. I felt bad for, you know, blocking people's views and that sort of thing at different points. So when I was moving to different areas, I was trying to move pretty quickly. And when possible, doing that out of the way of people watching the game, but also kind of staying in sight as much as possible, interacting with different parts of the crowd, which I think was a little bit more difficult in that arena than it might have been otherwise, since the seats are all pretty compressed to one side of the building.
Yeah, I saw that.
But, you know, I think, yeah, if I had to boil it down to one biggest difficult thing, it was not falling on the stairs.
Oh, man, I'm with you. I hate stairs not in a costume. Like, and true. I was like, oh,
I was,
man,
actually on a sprained ankle at the time.
What?
Yeah, it was a hockey injury. So I was wearing a brace under a sneaker under the costume.
Wow.
And at that point, it was, you know, it was pure adrenaline. The next day it was pretty sore, but totally worth it to be able to run around like that.
No, man. Oh, you were a trooper. Really dedicated.
It's a great, great league, great sport, great game. So I was happy to help in any way I could.
So what would you rate your performance? Like, I'm just going to do a little self-reflection here.
I would say it was a lot more fun than it was skillful.
But that counts, you know, I mean.
I definitely think I learned some stuff. You know, maybe I'd give me a 6, trying to be nice. but also saying, you know, I get that there's plenty of room to improve with something like that. And, you know, hopefully I'll have a chance in the future to do even better.
Yeah, so you would want to do it again?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a blast. One of the people who we work with at the rink is afraid of mascots, which made it even more fun. So she was actually the one who assigned me the position. She's like, hey, I can't do it. Mascots are scary.
Oh, my goodness.
And she's like, and don't come near me when you have the head on out there, which was a lot of fun. But yeah, I would totally do it again. I had a blast and that sort of thing.
So moving forward, like, say, you know, they came back to you again and they wanted you to do the mascot, and you're like, yeah, like, I'm going to go to some trainings and stuff and maybe look at video or do your research, look at some videos online. Who do you think you would look at mascot wise? Like, what mascots would you look to inspire your stunts and your movements?
So obviously I'm a Devils fan, living in New Jersey, being a big hockey fan. So NJ Devil is definitely up there. I think a friend of mine kind of knew him from some previous position, which was cool, kind of being able to have him go on Facebook and be like, that's the guy. but he's definitely someone I'd emulate. I liked both of my college mascots a lot. At Clarkson University, we were the Golden Knights, and the guy would skate around on the ice and slide on his shield, and it was really cool.
Whoa.
I was really hoping to get the chance to throw some skates on in the Ness costume, but with A, my ankle a little messed up, and B, the lack of time in between intermissions and that sort of thing, I didn't get the chance to do that, although I did run on the ice a little bit. But that's something that, you know, I think I'd like to add to my mascotting repertoire if I could. And then at Babson College, we were the Beavers, so having a giant beaver run around is always a good time.
Yeah.
And if you want to talk best looking, it's clearly NJ Devil during November when he's wearing a mustache.
Awesome. So any shout outs or anything? I don't know if you want people to follow you on Twitter or.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that everyone should follow Ness on Twitter. I think she's super clever. I think the people that run the league do a great job with that. And I'm friends with all the social people there. So I would say follow Nest directly. My personal Twitter isn't particularly mascot oriented at all. But yeah, I would say give her a follow. I would say give Crusher a follow from the Buffalo Buttes. She's great. She does a great job. And I think she is someone who's got a lot more kind of professional experience and kind of knows what she's doing more than I do. You know, she would pull out her giant drum that she was beating on. And I was like, wait, I didn't get any instruments. Like, you travel with the team and bring implements with you. That's way better than what I do. And she, you know, she had like a camelback in there, which was a great idea that I wish I'd had, or even wish I had space for inside my particular costume. But something like that, yeah, she was a great mascot mentor for me and a great mascot overall. So I would say definitely, you know, give them a follow. And then shout out to Mike for helping me get in the costume, although I don't know if he'll ever listen to this.
I don't know if it'll ever post. I need more interviews. Give a tell Crusher, put in a good word with Crusher for me.
Yeah, I can give your info for sure. What's the worst that can happen?
I would appreciate it. But I appreciate you coming on the show. I want to give you a big shout out. Thank you so much. It was
fun. My pleasure. It was a blast.
You had great stories and tips and stuff. And yeah, it was really cool.
No worries.
Alrighty. Well, thank you and have a good night.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Bye. And that was my first episode. So if you've made it this far, thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. I know I'm not the best interviewer, but I'm loving talking with everyone that I've interviewed so far. And do me a favor, steal a friend's phone. And if they have an iPhone, go to the podcast app and look up Mascot Diaries and hit subscribe. If they have an Android, go on the Google Play Music app and look up Mascot Diaries and subscribe. This show is also on Stitcher. It's on Player FM, Tuner Radio, and pretty much any podcast app out there. So go subscribe. And thanks for listening again. I wanted to give a quick update on Ness. Her Twitter is not really updated. It's at Ness_NWHL. And she has a new head. It's not featured on her Twitter account, but it's on Crusher's account. And that's at Crusher with a K _NWHL. And Crusher usually keeps up with her stuff and posts pictures and about games. So those are Crusher's definitely one to follow if you like following mascots or hockey mascots. And Ness, maybe if she gets a few more followers, she'll come back. So also, if you'd like to be on the show, if you like what you heard and you want to tell me your stories, you want to be interviewed, you can contact me at contact@mascotdiaries.com. So I hope to hear from a few of you to get a few more episodes. And that's it. Thanks for listening.